listening to Pro Booth Talk, photo booth insight, tips, and banter recorded by boothers for boothers. Brought to you by ProBoothTalk.com.
Welcome to Pro Booth Talk. Lap, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Jason.
So in our last episode, we kind of spoke about listening to the feedback of your customers and reviews and whatnot. So we wanted to kind of expand on that and discuss basically collecting and using customer feedback, because feedback is power. So there's various different ways to do that. There's not a whole lot that I currently incorporate. So there's only a few things that I could speak from experience on. So a lot of this could just spur conversation on different ways that this could be used. And maybe we can take some stuff that Lap and I can put into practice as well. But obviously the importance of customer feedback, if you're not taking advantage of feedback already, you definitely need to. Like if when a customer is generous enough to leave a review, hopefully you're reading that and taking to heart. A lot of times people will post that to social media to show how much people love them, but hopefully you're actually reading that and seeing what they have to say. And if anything, a lot of times they'll leave a positive review, but mention the only thing I would change is this or that. And hopefully those things are being considered. The biggest thing that I was interested in hearing back from though personally in our own business was why people are saying no, so that we can address that and make changes where we need to. So we created something we call exit surveys within our own company. And we send that out when somebody gives us a rejection. So if someone says we went in a different direction, we'll follow up. We have a canned email that we send them that thanks them for considering us. I hope their event is amazing. And if you have a couple seconds, could you click on this link and complete the survey? It's only one question or two questions, and we'll just take you like 30 seconds and completely anonymous. When we put it together, we did not expect to have anyone ever respond to it. It was a test that we wanted to try. And fortunately, we have actually seen a pretty good response. About 15% of people complete these exit surveys. Of course.
When did you guys, Jason, when did you guys start sending those exit surveys out?
It was about 2 years ago. So a little bit after COVID, I guess, which is kind of silly that that's like our benchmark for telling time now. But I'll just end with, it was a couple of years ago. So we incorporated this, and it's been a lot better than we anticipated, and it's been a good training tool with my sales team. Specifically, we have someone named Shannon here that works with us, and she came to me once, and she was concerned that she was being too pushy with forms, like just emailing people, because we have the model that we don't stop selling until they say no, like, or their event's passed. People will ask, like, how many times should you do an email follow-up if they're not listening to you? And we do endlessly until they toss no. And we'll tell them that. We'll say, hey, we haven't heard from you in our last couple emails. If you've moved on, that's okay. Just let us know so we can close your file out. And that email specifically typically gets the biggest response of people saying, yeah, we went in a different direction. Yeah. And that's great. Now we don't have to bother you. And, you know, it's taken off our plate, and it has one less markety spammy email hitting your inbox. That's a win-win for both of us. A better win if they booked us, but that's okay. So she felt like she was being too pushy with all these emails going out. So we were able to open these exit surveys up and review them. And we saw that I could show her conclusively that people didn't feel that we were being too pushy, and it you know, settled her mind, and you know, it also gives us a lot more information. So basically, who are the exit surveys for? In our model, we just use them exclusively for people that tell us no. There would probably be some value in sending those to past clients as well. My biggest issue with that is a lot of times with something like that, you're almost asking past clients to find something wrong, because with an exit survey, clearly we did do something wrong because you didn't book with us. But with the past client, when you're saying, hey, was anything wrong? What's one thing you could do better? You're essentially telling that client, find something wrong with us. Even if they thought you were perfect, like, why would you want to leave that negative impression? If nothing else, just say, what did you like best about us? But right. like, don't ever say if you could change one thing, because you're forcing them to find something when yes. otherwise they didn't have a negative feeling about you. So
right. I agree with that.
So we don't do any post-event exit surveys. It would be something I would consider, but we don't. We find it more important to know why people didn't book us. So that's who we target to. So when we send it is essentially as soon as they tell us no. If they don't ever tell us no and their event passes, maybe we should send it after their event passes, but we don't. So we only send it to the people that actually tell us no, which ultimately, like, I take my 15% off of our total leads that come in that don't book, but most of them never tell us no. So really that 15% is much larger because it only goes out to the people that actually tell us no, which probably is like maybe 25%, which would make that close rate of the exit surveys phenomenally high, really.
Pretty high, yes. I'm surprised.
Well, I mean, these people took the time to tell us no, so they're also the people that may take the time to click on a link. So if I sent it to everyone, I probably wouldn't get a whole lot more, I would think.
I definitely should integrate that. I don't have any sort of follow-up questionnaire for events or folks who went a different direction. We don't get responses most of the time. And I'm terrible. I'm not like you. I don't follow up as often like I should. But I'm very surprised. I'm very surprised about the fact that the response showed that the amount of times you guys emailed, they didn't feel like it was overwhelming, because that's something that I've always been concerned about like just my own personal, and this is my own flaw. Like I always think like, what would I be as a customer? And I have to remember I'm not my own customer, but I purposely try to avoid asking too many times, even though the sales, I have a official sales background and they say, you know, you keep asking until you get a no. So that's very, very basic core concepts of sales. I always have in my mind that I don't want to bug people. I don't want to harass people. So I'm so surprised. I mean, it's interesting that people didn't feel that all the multiple emails were annoying them. It makes me want to incorporate that.
We didn't get that almost at all, really. I'll go over some of our responses as well in a moment, I guess. But if you're going to create your own, of course, choosing the right medium is important. We wanted to do it through 17 Hats because that's what we use as a CRM, and they have pretty good forms, but they don't have any kind of statistics in there or a way to look at forms as a collective. And that's kind of important to me because I'm kind of a spreadsheet type of guy. I like data and analytics and whatnot. So ultimately for us, the best solution I found was using Google Forms, because they can direct those responses to a spreadsheet, and you can build charts and whatever you want to, and see what answers were prominent and whatnot. And because we wanted those charts, we kind of gave a few canned responses. So the people, like, if, for example, if they didn't book us because we were too expensive, we just wanted them to select that instead of actually typing it, because then some people might say you cost too much, or it was too much, or we didn't have that budget. There'd be a lot of responses that should be grouped into one answer that would create right. several different answers. So we wanted to be able to streamline that and have that represented is a one number. So we have a few canned responses or canned answers that they can select, which include, actually, let me pull up my form real quick and I'll see what those include.
I'm curious to know what was the most checked.
Well, I imagine like you my could, guess could would be guess. Pricing. Yes, far and away. So the only things we have for them to choose are, I found someone cheaper, you didn't have the service I was looking for, your response time was too slow, your offerings were too confusing, there were too many contact points, or other, where they could just type in their own. So they just pick one of those, and then there is a second spot for what else can we do in the future to be a better company. And that just gives them the opportunity to write something in there. Our response rate on that first one where they just have to click something obviously is much greater than the typing in an answer. Personally, when I have these type of surveys from other companies, I'm happy to go and click. Yeah, 5 out of 5, 4 out of 5. But as soon as you're like, why did you give us that rating? I will either skip or exit the survey because I'm not interested in writing an essay for about your services. If you make it easy and I could just check, then I'll help you out. But don't make me write.
Jason, what has been a surprising response that you've gotten? Like, has there been anything that has surprised you or caught you off guard with responses from your exit surveys at all? I'm just curious. This is not something I've done, but it's
not really a surprise, but we had one that said, I decided to open my own photo booth company, you know, and that's the honesty is surprising, but you know, a lot of people, when you go around and meet people at PBX and whatnot, that's pretty common response. Like, why did you open your business? Like, the two biggest responses are, I had a photo booth for my wedding and I thought I could do better, or I wanted a photo booth for my wedding and it was too expensive, so I just did one myself. So it's not surprising that that is a response, but the honesty was kind of surprising. Back to where I was at. I have too many tabs open here.
So has there been anything that you've changed in how you run the company because of the responses that you've seen in these surveys? I'm just curious if I really need to start incorporating this because I don't do this.
No. So we're pretty unique, and maybe people, when they're actually writing things, they're just naturally better spirited and nice. But the people that took the time to fill it out and write something really enforce the way that we run our business. Because let me pull up my questions here. So, oh, there it is. Okay. So 52% said that we were too expensive. So a very large percent, like a ton of people thought we were too expensive. But then looking through the comments, what we could do better, nothing, you did everything great. This is an amazing company and worth every penny. It just wasn't in our budget. So we have a lot of things like that, that people are actually acknowledging our value, but they just can't afford it. And that's exactly what we're looking for. You are a great company. I can't think of anything that you could have done. It just didn't work this time. I think you're great. I just went with my DJ because it was easier and cheaper. You guys are great. I loved your salesperson. Nothing really. I had a really strict budget I had to stick with. You were great. Your responses were prompt and very clear. I just needed something else. So, and here's one person that said I would have booked if it was lower prices. But generally, like, it's just been reinforcing what we're already doing
and making us feel what you guys bring.
And that's equally as important. Of course, it's important to change things when people are telling you that, but also you never really know. So it's good to have that encouragement to have the acknowledgement that people are saying, you're too expensive.
You guys are a great
company. But I value, like, you should be. You guys are amazing.
We understand. Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. And there's a lot of people saying, like, I appreciated the contact. I appreciated the attentiveness. But nobody ever said, we have a zero click rate on you, whatever it was that one of the questions or one of the responses, like, you reached out to us too much or whatever however I worded it. No one's ever clicked on that. So as far as, like, reaching out to people.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And you know, for Shannon, it really helped her not feel like she
more was confident. Bothering people. Yeah, because that's actually how I feel. Like, I refrain from following up too much unless there's a reason why I have to follow up. Because I've always felt, for my own experience, I don't like when salespeople call me. But that's really surprising, and that just really shows the value of what you're doing with the exit surveys.
Yeah, and our second most response, which you didn't have the service I was looking for, which is, to me, tells us that we're not communicating our services well enough, because I unless you're looking for a flip book, like, if we don't do it, we can do it. Like, there,
you guys,
it's
didn't
pretty
do flip books.
We don't do flip books, and I won't do flip books. So unless you're looking for a flip book, if you tell us that you're looking for something that we don't do, like, we'll either figure out how to do it, unless you need it, you know, tomorrow, or we'll find someone to partner with to bring in so that we can offer it. But we typically can do anything that you're looking for. So those responses, I feel
so
like
there's a disconnect.
Failure in our ability to to express what we can deliver on. We did have a couple say that our response rate was too slow. It's 2.6% though, so not low enough for me to really, our response rate is pretty good. Like these people must have been like on the weekend, which we do set like hours that we observe. Like we're not responding to you at 2 a.m. or on a Sunday, you know, whatever. And I know a lot of companies doing that. That's fine if that's your model, but we have our business hours and we stick to them. When our salespeople go home,
a lot of people inquire.
Yeah.
Be working. Yeah. A lot of people actually inquire at odd hours. I get that a lot. 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And I know I can't remember who it was. I think it's Catalina that was in one of her speeches was saying that like she'll respond to a customer at 2 a.m. And that's just how she runs things. If she's in bed and she gets a text, she'll respond. But like, that's fine if you're a solo op, but I'm not going to demand that of my staff. Like I want them to have that disconnect right when they leave and go home, that they could spend time with their families and not have to worry about sales coming in or whatnot. So we keep a hard close time. If you're not in the office, we use a company called Grasshopper for our phones. I think Google Phone does similar things, but essentially they have the app on their phone and we're able to put in their schedules so that if someone calls for a booking between on these certain days that they're in the office between these hours, it'll go to one of their phones first. And if they don't answer, it'll go to a second phone. And then if they don't answer, it'll go finally to me as a third person. So it'll just go around until those three people until somebody answers. But if it's on a day that they're not working, it will skip directly to the second person. So it's a good system to make sure phone calls are being answered and whatnot. So if you're not doing something like that, I definitely recommend doing something like that to ensure your phones are being answered.
I answer messages in the middle of the night. I won't answer a phone call, but I do answer emails and messages. I actually work at night though, so it works out for me. But I know you have a whole dedicated team that does the sales and back end that I don't. So we're different in that.
And that's the biggest difference. I think I did as well when I was doing all my sales. You know, it's just impossible to not respond to. And if you see the email, it's so hard to not respond to it. You know, so I don't have sales emails coming to my phone at all anymore just for that reason, because I'll respond when I'm literally paying someone to respond. I'll be like, oh, I can respond to this faster, so I'll respond. So I've taken all of those emails off of my phone. I only have personal emails coming to my phone now. And if you reach out for a quote after hours, you're not getting a response. But it's only
how are you guys handling 2.6%
said we were too. Was that what it was? Your company? Yeah, 2.6% said we were too slow. So I don't think it's affecting us negatively. Not responding to people late at night or on Sundays or whatnot. You were asking?
We don't. Oh, I was saying how do you guys handle your like Instagram social media inquiries? Do you guys get prospects through your social media?
It's someplace we don't get a lot, and it's someplace that we're kind of behind the times on. Like I realize that even though not a lot of my leads are coming from social media today, like tomorrow, all of them are coming from social media or else I won't exist. Like that's just the way that things are going. And our system, like 17 Hats, isn't good with that really. Like our CRM, like everyone has to come through emails. Like I know like Check Cherry, I saw they can do texting and whatnot. And that's important because a lot of people are texting these days, but with 17, everything has like all the forms, the quotes, everything has to go through emails. So we just channel everyone to that medium. So as soon as someone messages us on social media right away, you know, I know like if you go listen to Alan Burke, he'll tell you right away, talk to people on their medium. If they reach out to you on Facebook, talk to them on Facebook, because that's where they're at.
Yep.
But we unfortunately can't do that with how we're currently set up. As soon as they reach out, say, we'd love to send you some more information. What email address is good to send it to you? And no one's ever said, like, can't you just send it here? They always just give us an email address. We don't have that pushback, but Jason, I would still like to stay in their environment.
Yeah, so I get leads through social media, through text messages, and a lot of times I think that they're just, you know, they're shopping around, but they're actually very serious. I book events. I have a higher booking rate on social media and through text messages. My CRM doesn't handle either, so everything I have to manually keep track of, which is a pain. But I notice when I try to get them off that medium, if they text, especially text messaging, if I get them off text messaging, the engagement just drops off and their responsiveness is just not at that same level. So I always, if they text me, I text back, and the booking rate is high enough where I do invest that time in responding. That's what I'm curious about Instagram and text messaging.
And I believe that's the case. Like if you look at my kids, and I say kids, but they're all adults between 19 and 26, 20 and 26. Yeah. If I look at their phones, like they will all have a badge on their email app that says like 10,200, like they don't use email at all. So like if they were getting married and they reached out to us and we said, what's your best email address? And they gave us that email, like they would open it up and they're so, like, unless you're working in an office, kids don't know anything about email. They would look at it. They don't know how to respond right. You're lost in like all the spam from every subscription they ever signed up for, you know? So I wholeheartedly agree that we need to find a way to effectively move away from email when it's needed. Obviously when you're doing marketing events with brands and stuff, they're all emails. They'll reach out to us via text with some questions every now and again, but like 95% is email based with those.
I get a lot by text. It's a lot more challenging to keep track when they send their files through. I ask them to send their files through email and they send it through text, and it just makes this would be a great topic for
We'll sidebar this and talk about it more later. So back to exit surveys. I know there's someone out there going, no, I was writing notes, but sorry, tune back in. So encourage honesty through anonymity, I am tongue twisted. But it's definitely important to make them feel comfortable to leave honest responses. So we don't make them log in. When you do the Google form, you can make them log in to their Google account so that there is an email address attached to it, or else you can leave it blank so that anyone could leave any response and you don't know where it came from. That is the option that we chose. And I honestly don't want to know who left the feedback either. So obviously when you have like one or two responses, you're going to know who they are. But right. I just refused to look at them until we had like 20 so that it would be all kind of jumbled together. Just because I didn't want to be tempted to reach out to somebody when I told them that their response is anonymous and then reach out and be like, hey, you were the last one to fill out the form. Right. So I know it was you. And you said that we didn't have a service you were looking for. Like, so I don't want to betray their trust like that. So I made it as anonymous as I could. And then obviously, if you've ever filled out a form or a exit survey or how did we do, it's pretty annoying when there's more than just a couple questions. So we just have the two questions of where did we lose you and how can we improve in the future? First one being check a box and the next one being a text filled. As I already mentioned, the text box is always completed. The other field is... we've got like 250 responses and we have like 50 responses of text. So a much smaller percentage complete that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we do. I know you mentioned before the show that you're not really doing anything right now. It's pretty easy to incorporate. Google Forms are very easy to create. And like I said, we're in 17 hats. So we just created a template email that basically says like, hope your celebration's amazing. If you have 2 seconds, pop in here and let us know how we did. We're always trying to improve ourselves. And when someone says, I went in a different direction, we just hit that template and send it off and archive the customer and forget about it.
Yeah. I love that you got responses that were unexpected. Like I definitely should try to incorporate that.
Yeah, very easy to incorporate. And I think it's valuable for everyone, whether it's addressing changes that need to be made or reinforcing things that you're not sure about. Because obviously, when you have a large number of leads that are going unanswered because of your price, you know, you start doubting and wondering, should I lower my price? You know, we had 50 leads not booked last month. How many of those were due to price. This survey tells us it's 50%. I have a suspect that it's much higher than that. I would guess like 90% are probably because of price. But, you know, what percentage of those would we book? Then you're getting into other reasons you're not booking. If we sent lower price leads to all of those, would we book all of them? Probably not. We would just be busier and making less money and dirtying our brand. So, but these responses let us know that we were priced right and our value was, we were representing our value correctly, because no one really said that we were just too expensive.
Just because you were out of their budget, but you weren't priced incorrect for the service that you were providing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in closing, find some way to collect information from your clients. Obviously review it and learn from it. Same thing with reviews. Read those reviews and read between the lines. See what they're saying they like. Most review things like Google and Yelp will have like keywords that are picked up a lot in your overall reviews. We pay attention to those and either decide that we're hitting our goal if those words are the goals that we have, or maybe we'll redirect our goal. For example, one of our biggest keywords, if you look at our Google review, Google highlights the word team, and team is very important to us. And we try to portray that in all our marketing. And when we talk to people, and we specifically went to and tried to win the best team award at the Boothmasters, we actually did win the best team at Boothmasters.
Yeah, the first year. Congratulations on that.
And that was important to us because we put a lot of work into our team. And that is the first keyword that's highlighted in our Yelp our Google and Yelp reviews. So it's really important that we're achieving that and people are recognizing that and leaving that in our reviews. But if there's words like price in your Yelp reviews, then either you have to decide that that's good because you're trying to be a budget booth and you're hitting your target. Or if you're trying to be a mid range or a high range, that word price means that you're doing something wrong. If a lot of people are saying this is a great price, then you need to probably increase your prices. Or if the word, a keyword that's coming up a lot is props, maybe that's good if you want to be known for the company that has a lot of props. If you want to have the elevated events and you want to get away from props, then that's bad. And that lets you know that people are perceiving you the wrong way. But if you can't get away from it, maybe you need to change your angle and start hanging your marketing hat on that and saying it. We're the prop kings of your city or whatnot, and really pushing that prop perspective if people are already recognizing you for that. So listening to that customer feedback and utilizing it where you can to
maximize
and improve and maximize. So that's pretty much all I've got for that. It's kind of a short subject. Quick and to the point.
Yeah. That's it's good. Really making me want to incorporate that.
Good. That's why we're system. Here.
Lab. Yeah.
So I'm interested to hear if anyone else is using any kind of exit surveys, if the results are similar to ours or mine, and it'd be fun to compare, get some A and B stuff going on.
Leave us some questions.
Yeah. Leave us some questions. Same stuff. Engage. Like, subscribe, comment, do all that stuff. Helps our algorithm. Keeps this free content coming. So help us out and we'll continue helping you out. See you guys next time.
Help to keep this free information coming. Subscribe to Pro Booth Talk in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And while you're there, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Finally, watch for show updates at facebook.com/ProBoothTalk.